WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. President Trump says without Marines and National Guard forces, L.A. would be, quote, burning to the ground. On Capitol Hill, Defense Secretary Hegseth says it's all needed to protect ICE agents.
ICE ought to be able to do its job, whether it's Minneapolis or Los Angeles.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has sued the Trump administration. Now to Graz, Austria, where 9 people were shot and killed at a school. Police say the gunman, a former student, is dead. CBS's Holly Williams.
The Austrian police now say the school has been evacuated and secured, and there is no further danger.
Israel deported the activist Greta Thunberg after she and others were taken off a ship bound for Gaza. She's now in Paris.
This is yet another violation of international rights.
Ukrainian officials say today 3 people were killed, 13 wounded when Russia attacked the country with waves of drones and missiles. Wall Street stocks are higher today. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The Madison school teacher who was killed in the December shooting will be honored at a national memorial. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
42-year-old Erin West was loved at Abundant Life Christian School. She was the substitute teacher coordinator. WKOW reports her name will be added to the National Memorial to Fallen Educators. It falls under the umbrella of the National Educator Hall of Fame in Kansas. The memorial includes 3 large stone books. They're all engraved with the names of teachers who died serving others. It was created after the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012 and is the only memorial dedicated to teachers who died on the job because of violence, accidents, or illness like COVID-19 they caught at work. With 189 names, the memorial is now almost full. The organizers have a fundraiser to add more books to hold more names. West will be added to the memorial in a ceremony June 20th.
Meanwhile, the Abundant Life shooter's father was just in court. Jeffrey Rupnow faces felonies for allegedly supplying the gun his daughter used to kill West and 14-year-old Ruby Vergara and hurt 6 more before she died by suicide. The court appearance was uneventful. Lawyers scheduled a preliminary hearing for July 24th. That's where a prosecutor has to prove that they have enough evidence to move forward with a case. Dane County District Attorney Ismail Ozan had previously said no one knew the girl better than her father, and his actions contributed to the shooting. For each of the 3 shootings, Rupnow faces the potential of 6 years behind bars and up to a $10,000 fine. Of course, we'll continue to follow this case as it moves through the court system. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Packers at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers begin their 3-day mini camp, but without Jaire Alexander, the team releasing the veteran defensive back after failing to come to terms with the new agreement. Packers president Mark Murphy.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent. You know, unfortunately, just injured a lot. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunately that's a big part of our game.
Baseball. The Brewers and Braves series continues tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers losing last night 7-1 after 15 batters struck out, 11 by Braves starter Chris Sale. D.L. Hall on watching Sale perform on the mound.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, somebody to watch and learn from. He's been doing it for a long time, so it's always fun to watch him and learn some stuff.
What stands out to you about a guy like that?
Oh, man, just the longevity and how long he's been really good and doing what he did tonight.
That's Brewers pitcher D.L. Hall with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More sunshine today and more mild temperatures making it to the mid-70s. We've got a west breeze with areas of patchy wildfire smoke. That looks to linger a little bit tomorrow, too. Under abundant sunshine, highs still reach the upper 70s. And then showers and storms roll in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets or $100 cash.
Plus, every entry puts you into one of our grand prize drawings on a Wisconsin vacation in Baraboo or Door County.
This hour's keyword is pool. P-O-O-L, pool. Text in the word pool and good luck.
This hour, you're playing for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Text in the keyword right now through the Civic Media app. You have until the end of this hour.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
See, you're speechless too.
I mean, I love it.
We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
I'll be slinging drinks at a charity bartending event, but don't worry, you'll be in good hands with special host Angela Lang, joined by Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Tuesday. A lot going on today. The suspension of reality and law. Trump turns the U.S. military into his private army. Now he's called out the Marines. In fact, the Marine Battalion, if I'm using the right word, that took Iwo Jima. This is wild. Also, RFK Jr., Bob Kennedy, says that he just did. Removed all 17 members of the CDC panel that advises our country on vaccines. Uh-oh. And Joe Walsh is going to drop by at the bottom of the hour. He's been on the program before, a former Republican congressman. He says Democrats need some conservatives in their big tent. I'm looking forward to a conversation with Joe about that. In the second hour of our program, one of my old debating guys, partners, companions, I don't know what the right word is, opponents, Seton Motley, he and I used to mix it up all the time, particularly on television, when I was in D.C. He's got a new Substack website that, and he wants to drop by and talk about it. I think it'll be interesting. Looking forward to that at the top of the second hour. Also, did Israel seize Greta Thunberg and her boat in an illegal act? That in the second hour. In the third hour of our program, Vicki Harrison, three guests today. An unusual day. Vicki Harrison with Common Cause. The Trump administration and Republicans and right-wing billionaires are pushing hard to rewrite the Constitution from scratch. Yeah. Let's see. Who else did that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Vladimir Putin did that. Who else did that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Viktor Orban did that. So, you know, a lot to talk about today. But to start out, my daily take over at HartmanReport.com is titled The Suspension of Reality and Law. Trump turns the U.S. military into his own private army. And my point is that Trump wants blood. I mean, think about this for a minute. The spectacle really is the point. The helicopters, the uniforms, the armored personnel carriers on the streets of Los Angeles. Trump is sending U.S. Marines into an American city. You know, the Marines are trained in killing people. And this is not a slam. I mean, you know, we need Marines to fight wars. They're very good at killing people. They do it quickly. They do it efficiently. They've got the most advanced weaponry, you know, devices for killing people in the world available to them. The old joke is, you know, what do you do when you're in the Marines? Well, you blow things up and kill people. I mean, you know, this is the most lethal fighting force in America. They have never been trained in crowd control. They have never been trained in protecting people's First and Fourth Amendment rights and Fifth Amendment rights. They've never been trained in defending the Constitution. They've never been trained in how to arrest and Mirandize someone. These guys are trained in killing people. And Trump just mobilized them onto the streets of Los Angeles. Now, there is a law specifically against this. It's called Posse Comitatus. It was passed in 1878 as a result of the violence that was being inflicted on former Confederate soldiers down in the South, on people in the South, by Union troops who were occupying the South. And that was basically the end of the occupation. It was the end of Reconstruction. And, you know, we could have a discussion or a debate about the consequences of that, but that's kind of a, you know, it's a rabbit hole I don't want to run down right now. But the point is that we have a really serious problem here with this, that the president is sending the Marines into Los Angeles. Meanwhile, he's gutted the FBI's domestic terrorism unit. He's turned DHL and DHS into a political police force. He's laying off scientists from NOAA and NASA because they keep insisting that the Earth is, in fact, on fire from the poisons that his fossil fuel donors are giving them. In the midst of this, Trump is looting the Treasury in broad daylight. He's giving away $4 trillion to his billionaire donors and golf buddies. He's repealing clean air and water protections, while wildfires are ripping apart the West Coast and battering the South, tornadoes across the Midwest. He's inviting domestic terrorists into the halls of power. His family and cronies are raking in billions from foreign governments, from Saudi royals to Russian oligarchs to Chinese front companies, without even a fig leaf of legality. And now, as his approval ratings begin to wobble and questions mount about his finances, his backroom deals, his erratic behavior, his slipping down the stairs on Air Force One, he reaches for the oldest play in the authoritarian playbook: provoke unrest and then send in the troops. Now, this is not new. Nixon tried it. Hitler perfected it. Mussolini reveled in it. Trump is following a script so old and worn that it should have been burned for kindling by now, but here we are. Richard Nixon in the early 70s didn't try to calm down opposition to the Vietnam War. He deliberately stirred it up. He referred to student protesters as communists and bums and cheered on violent pro-government mobs like the one that beat the Hard Hat Riot in New York, beat peaceful protesters. He did everything he could, Nixon, to push the country into a cultural war fever. But even Nixon, I think in his worst moments, didn't think that he could turn America into a dictatorship, that that would be a desirable thing. I mean, his goal was pretty simple, and it's the same first-level goal as Trump. Make protests look like rebellion, make rebellion look like terrorism, and then make himself look like the only guy who could save the nation from terrorism and restore law and order. And Nixon succeeded for a while. It worked for him. It got him reelected in 72 at a really high price. I mean, Watergate, war crimes, the loss of a generation's trust in government. And now we've got Donald Trump with Stephen Miller whispering fascist bedtime stories in his ears and Steve Bannon openly talking about civil war. But now the stakes are higher and the intentions are clearer. Trump is trying to actually end our form of government. He wants to replace our democratic republic and the New Deal social programs and social safety net that came out of, out of the people's vote, out of the people's will. He wants to replace all that with this libertarian, anarcho, neo-fascist, tech-run state. I mean, it was crazy. And meanwhile, while this is happening, while Trump is bringing out the troops, and some would argue, by the way, this what I'm about to tell you is the most important point, that this is the only reason he's doing it. I don't believe it's the only reason he's doing it, but I think it's a really important one, is where is the news coverage on the $4 trillion tax break for billionaires, this god-awful piece of legislation that's going to explode our deficit and our debt? Where's the outrage over the billions flowing into Trump's money bins from foreign oligarchs and governments in violation of the Emoluments Clause? Where's the investigation into the domestic terrorism unit that Donald Trump dismantled in the federal government while neo-Nazis are training in their camps in Michigan and Florida? Where's the climate report that was buried? Where are the Epstein files? Where's the fury over his push to gut Medicaid and privatize our social safety net? They're all buried under a pile of riot gear and tear gas canisters. And that's the playbook. Distract, divide, and dominate. Hitler provoked street clashes. He had his brown shirts go out and attack people in the streets to produce unrest in the streets, to draw out the police, to produce riots in the streets of Germany that he could then use to clamp down on protests and riots. Mussolini, same thing. His black shirts beat and murdered labor leaders. And then they demanded that the government, that the king at the time of Italy, impose martial law, which he did. Marcos in the Philippines, I was there the week that Ferdy Marcos fled the country. In fact, I got bumped off of four or five different Philippine Airlines flights in a row trying to get back to the United States because Marcos and all his buddies were, basically buying the planes. It was a national carrier at the time, the Philippine Airlines. I don't know. I'm assuming it's been privatized now. But, they used student protest to declare martial law. Ferdy Marcos did. Erdogan used unrest, student protests in Gezi Park in Turkey to round up journalists, rewrite the constitution, the Turkish constitution, and jail his political rivals. This isn't just history. This is prophecy. Trump has studied these men. So what do? We show up. The one thing dictators can't deal with is widespread public opinion, as Abraham Lincoln pointed out. We do it this coming Saturday. We do it peacefully. Because No King's Day isn't just a rally. It's a declaration that we will not be ruled by strongmen, that we do not recognize the Trump family as royalty, that we believe in the power of the people and the promise of our republic. So get out there.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Tag, we're it. I'll be right back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a second. Lately, it seems like the wall between church and state is under full-scale attack. In Texas, lawmakers want to post the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms and give school boards power to approve prayer sessions and Bible readings. At the federal level, a new bill just passed the House that removes Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care, not just for youth, but everyone. And the Supreme Court? They're about to hear a case that could let religious charter schools access public funding, completely blurring the line between church and state. If this sounds extreme, that's because it is. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been pushing back since 1978. They're on the front lines defending the Constitution, making sure public funds, public schools, and public policy stay secular. If you believe in facts over faith-based legislation, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's, to 511-511 and become a member today. Join us and go to ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511 to support their work. Because when religion starts driving public policy, democracy takes a back seat. Text fees may apply.
Well, these polymers aren't as flexible as batch K3.
Researcher Laurie is stretched thin.
Did you get the vulcanization analytics from V66? Wait, are these rubber scores from last week?
She needs to hire new lab technicians so she can bounce back into her old self.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our matching platform lets you spend less time searching and more time connecting with candidates. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Yours now.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. If you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee with your county, and bang, just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property, and you won't even know what's happened until you get a collection or foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked your home title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now, which is why I've partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you get a free title history report and a free trial with their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. That's why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like I did. Don't be a victim. Protect your equity today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom. That's HomeTitleLock.com/Tom.
LA's in flames, armor trucks rolling like it's a war game. Flags in the frame, choppers in the sky, but the Constitution bleeding and the truth just died. They called it law and order. What they meant was fear. And the boots on your doorstep say the end is near. Send in the Marines, let the rifles gleam. Make it look strength while you kill. He don't want peace, he wants the scene. So roll the tanks and send in the Marines. He stole the vote with money, courts and lies. Now he rules by chaos under blood-red skies. His cronies count billions while the poor count dead. He feeds the rich and starves the threat. And when the people rise with signs and songs, he brands them enemies from marching strong. Send in the Marines, drown the screams, trade liberty for TV memes. Dress up fear in camouflage greens and shoot the truth. And send in the Marines.
He gutted the science. 23 minutes past the hour, so Bob Kennedy fired all 17 members of the CDC's Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices this week. This is wild stuff. The executive director of the American Public Health Association, Dr. George Benjamin, said, this is not how democracies work. It's not good for the health of the nation. He said what Kennedy is doing It goes against what he told lawmakers and the public. He's breaking a promise. He said he wasn't going to do this. And in fact, when he testified before Congress, Kennedy did say he was not going to do this. Dr. Bruce Scott, president of the American Medical Association, says, and I quote, "Today's action to remove the 17 sitting members of ACIP undermines that trust and upends a transparent process that has saved countless lives." Kennedy recently took the step of changing the COVID-19 recommendations, by the way, without consulting this panel. And Bernie is now weighing in on this. I mean, Bernie is the ranking member of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, health being the operative word here. And he issued a statement. He said, "Firing independent vaccine experts is a dangerous, unprecedented move that will make it harder for the American people to access vaccines that are safe, effective, and essential to saving lives." And he goes on to say, he says, "For decades, Secretary Kennedy has spread lies and conspiracy theories about vaccines. Now with Trump's backing, he's doubling down on misinformation that will lead to preventable illness and death. At a time when we should be strengthening trust in science and expanding access to health care, this administration is doing the exact opposite. This is a continuation of Trump and Kennedy's dangerous war on science. It cannot stand." One of the things that's pretty universal when you look at dictatorships around the world is that they go after science. Now, you know, there's a lot of debate about why that is. Why is it that Pol Pot killed all the people who had glasses because it was evidence that they were literate? Why is it that Russia is so far behind in science? Why is it that, basically every dictatorship goes after Hitler went after the scientists. They all fled here to the United States and made bombs and rockets for us. Well, you know, is it because scientists tend to be educated and therefore they tend to be critical thinkers? Is it because science conflicts with the religion that dictators love to use to dominate politics? I don't know the answer to this question. I mean, I've got some theories, but dictators always go after science, and that's what we're seeing right now with Kennedy and Trump. Bill Cassidy, he's a Republican, a senator from Louisiana, he specifically asked Kennedy if he would, quote, "maintain the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices without changes." And Kennedy said, "Yes, I will." He clearly lied. Or, you know, just didn't know that that's what he intended to do at the time, whatever. But here we are, the war on science rolling along. So what say you? I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. Just a reminder, you'll be put on hold, but you probably won't have your call screened. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
27 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back. Do you trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com. Shopmando.com.
Do you love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream, like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money, and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's a new way to teach kids math. Maybe Greg and I will learn how to add. Also, Rich Smith from the 6th Street Theater will be here. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Despite a breakdown in budget negotiations with Governor Tony Evers, Republican co-chairs of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee remain optimistic. Lisa Hale explains.
Speaking to the media last week, Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green said the committee has put 3 budgets on Evers' desk in the past 3 budget cycles, and he signed them. Markline noted, quote, "A lot of the priorities that the governor's office and the Republicans have are very similar." JFC co-chair Representative Mark Bourne of Berlin said Republicans broke off negotiations because the Democratic governor demanded spending increases that outpaced tax cuts they wanted. An Evers spokesperson said that is not accurate.
And some great movies have been filmed in Wisconsin, but a tax credit could bring more of them here. Joanne Krulatz tells us more.
A bill to provide a film tax credit in Wisconsin and establish a state film office has moved out of a Senate committee. Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers says the state has lost out on a lot of opportunities because productions don't want to film in the state due to a lack of film credit. Sayers says the department has heard from plenty of producers that they'd like to film in Wisconsin, and now is the time to get the bill made into law. The bill would allow companies to apply for a 30% credit equal to cost of salary or wages for Wisconsin residents working on productions.
And a bipartisan group of state lawmakers are proposing legislation that would allow teachers to claim tax deductions for classroom materials they purchase. Under the proposed bill, teachers would be allowed to claim up to $300. The bill was co-authored by Republican State Representative David Armstrong, and Democratic lawmakers say it's the least they can do for now, but the state should be doing more to fund schools. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
More sunshine today and more mild temperatures, making it to the mid-70s. We've got a west breeze with areas of patchy wildfire smoke. That looks to linger a little bit tomorrow, too. Under abundant sunshine, highs still reach the upper 70s. And then showers and storms roll in at night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
It's our Scani Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets or $100 cash.
Plus, every entry puts you into one of our grand prize drawings of a Wisconsin vacation in Baraboo or Door County.
This hour's keyword is pool. P-O-O-L, pool. Text in the word pool and good luck.
This hour, you're playing for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. Text in the keyword right now through the Civic Media app. You have until the end of this hour.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8.
For all of your support. Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
Come with thunder, he didn't break the glass. He slipped in through the silence, the cracks from decades past. A shadow in the bloodstream, a whisper in the code. He found the doors wide open on a party lawn. They'd stripped away the conscience, cut the guardrails down, painted loyalty in poison, wore ambition like a crown. He offered them a mirror, they saw their thirst for might, and chose to dim the lanterns instead of light the night.
Trump is the sickness, but the party, the GOP, is what spread it. On the line with us, our old buddy Joe Walsh, the former U.S. congressman from Illinois, the 8th District, podcast host, Social Contract with Joe Walsh, Substack.com, Walsh Freedom over at Blue Sky, Walsh Freedom on Twitter. And Joe says he's become a Democrat. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. Welcome back.
Tom, it's been too long. Good to be with you, my friend.
Amen. I agree. I've been reading your stuff, and I mean, you know, you're pointing out some, you know, things where we clearly agreed. Trump is a tyrant in the White House, and the Republican Party has basically just become a bunch of sycophants. And you make the point that the Democratic Party needs to expand its tent to embrace conservatives like yourself. And I kind of had this same conversation with Michael Steele sometime back on his podcast, where, you know, he's still asserting that he's a conservative, but I never quite understood exactly what that meant. What does being a conservative, and by the way, just for the record, I'm all in favor of the Democratic Party having conservatives in it, and I would love to see the Republican Party go back to the days of my youth when there were progressive Republicans. I mean, there were still some left in the 70s and 80s even, but certainly in the 50s and 60s. So anyhow, what does being a conservative mean to you, Joe?
It's a great question, Tom. And I only use that label because that's the label we use these days. I've always been more libertarian in my politics. So we generally, every policy issue, we argue about the role of government, right? We all want good schools. We all want good health care. We all want clean air and all the rest. Republicans and Democrats before Trump have argued about what should government do in each of those areas. I've always been someone who understands the role for government, but I've never been a hugely activist government guy. But throw that stuff out the window, Tom, because that's all really important. But the reason I became a Democrat last week is because I truly believe our democracy and the rule of law are teetering right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I get that, and I agree with you on that. And I'm not trying to provoke a debate here, Joe. I'm just my understanding of conservatism, and I grew up in a household. Now, admittedly, this was in the 1950s and 60s, but my dad was a Republican activist.
And I went, when I was 13 years old, I went door to door for Barry Goldwater with my dad. So I think I have an understanding of conservative perspectives. I've read both of Goldwater's autobiographies and John Stormer and None Dear Call Treason and all that kind of stuff. But, essentially you say, okay, we all agree that everybody in the country should have health care. There's really two paradigms for doing this. One is you have a national health care system like every democracy in the world except the United States and Switzerland. Or secondly, and I would argue that this should be the libertarian position or a conservative position, you do it like Switzerland, where everybody is mandated to have health care and all of the health insurance companies are required to be not-for-profits. And they operate within very strictly regulated guidelines. But there is no national health care system. The federal government sets some standards, but that's about it. Those are kind of the two extremes. But then the Republican Party comes along and says, screw all that. We don't even think people should have a right to health care. We simply think big corporations that kick back huge amounts of money to us politicians, us Republican politicians, should be able to screw people, any way they want. And we don't even think, United Healthcare and Aetna should be regulated. So where, when you say that you're a conservative, where do you fall on that spectrum with regard to just this one issue? Just, for example.
Tom, I'd be somewhere right in the middle. Obviously, I don't agree with necessarily your characterization of this Republican Party, though that's probably where they are now. I agree with that. When it comes to healthcare, I generally believe that government should be an absolute safety net in this society for everybody who cannot provide for themselves. I generally believe philosophically that more of the American people who are able-bodied need to be paying for more and more of their day-to-day health care costs. And I believe we need to get our arms around insurance, which should be kind of what insurance was meant to be, to pay for catastrophic health issues. But again, I'm open to a discussion on all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. What are some of the other areas where you think that the Democratic Party should open up, as it were, philosophically to conservatives, genuine conservatives, like yourself, who have fled the Republican Party?
I think this Democratic Party, now my Democratic Party, a party I'm now part of, I think they lost touch with regular working class people. I campaigned every day last year for Kamala Harris. I would hear that, Tom, in every battleground state I went into. Voters right in the middle would tell me, I know Trump's a jerk, Joe, but the Democrats look down on me and don't understand me. A lot of that is economic. A lot of that is the issue of immigration. My former party demagogues the issue of immigration and the border, but Democrats have ignored that issue for way too long. And that's an issue, a real issue that regular folks are concerned about and have been concerned about. So secure the border, fix our immigration system, offer a pathway to citizenship for people who've been here. The nice thing, Tom, is that Trump and his party now are so ugly and extreme with what they're doing on immigration that there's a great opportunity for Democrats to capture the middle.
How?
By acknowledging that it's a real issue.
Immigration? Here's the thing, though, Joe. I mean, Democrats have been saying forever that we need comprehensive immigration reform. And it was proposed when Obama was president and he had, enough of Congress to pull it off. He wasn't able to pull it off. I would argue that his effort was feeble, but it seems to me like this is an issue that has been largely created by right-wing media. I mean, you've got a bunch of Republican politicians. Ted Cruz is probably the worst at this, who go out and yell and scream about how the border is open. The border is wide open. I mean, they literally say that. I wrote an op-ed 2 years ago in which I cited 30 or 40 different, or somewhere between 30 and 40 different high-profile Republicans, including Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, et cetera, et cetera, and including, by the way, Donald Trump, claiming during the Biden administration that the border was, quote, wide open. Well, what happens then is that you get all these people in Central and South America who are reading these things and saying, oh, the border's open. I guess I'll go up there.
it creates a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's always been my contention that that's exactly what these Republican demagogues are trying to do. They were trying to get people to come to the border. This is not a Democratic issue. This is a Republic. You know, the Republicans created this issue.
I'd respectfully disagree with you, my friend. I think there's some truth to what you just said. I know that Republicans have demagogued this issue over the years because I used to demagogue the issue. But Joe Biden, before he got elected and after he got elected, and for his first 3.5 years, he ignored the crisis at the border. He did. And he sent a message when he was running that he would be the opposite of Trump. He changed a couple of Trump's policies at the border. He welcomed people. He did send a message to folks to come on up, I believe. I don't think Democrats have been concerned about the issue of the border. And Tom, you look at this issue of migrants who are in this country, all of whom are great, good, decent people. Remember during the campaign, Trump talked about they're eating your cats and dogs in Springfield, Ohio. What lies? What a dangerous, dangerous, ugly lie. But that issue, Springfield, Ohio, a town of 60,000 people, 20,000 Haitian migrants had gone there, migrated there in the past 4 to 5 years. They're all good people, but that creates real issues, financial, in that town of Springfield, Ohio. Play that out around the country. This is a concern that folks have had. Republicans have demagogued it. Democrats haven't spoken to it.
Yeah. Well, what Joe Biden did was he, I think fairly aggressively, closed the border, as it were, and came out with this app where you could apply for asylum from outside the United States, but not inside the United States. And, you know, most of these people coming in were applying for asylum. I on the one hand, I get the argument that this whole asylum thing is a loophole, essentially. On the other hand, you know, I have worked in Central and South American countries. I used to be an international relief worker throughout the 80s and early 90s. And some of these countries are genuine hellholes, and people really truly are fleeing for their lives.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You know, the Reagan administration horribly disrupted the whole political system in Central America. And now you've got, you know, climate change is just wiping out large chunks of Guatemala. You've got literally thousands of farms that have just turned into desert. So, you know, I get both sides of this, Joe. But
Tom, you and I would agree on this. This is what so pisses me off about what Trump's doing right now. The business community in this country and our government, they've created purposely this broken system. They've incentivized people to come here. Businesses want these people. The government has wanted them here.
Oh, they publish newspaper-sized broadsheets, like the old, you know, shopping guides, in Spanish that are distributed in Central America, that have ads for meatpacking companies in Wisconsin.
We've incentivized people to come here to take advantage of a broken system.
Yeah.
Businesses have done that, and our government's done that. And for us now to say, no, we're going to deport you all, shame on us. Yeah. Fix the system.
Yeah, I get it. Joe, I only have 45 seconds until I'm going to hit a hard break here. I can't control. Where do you think the Democratic Party goes next? And how do you see this whole thing playing out?
I think the Democratic Party needs to fight. I think that fight's got to come from the progressive left, and it's got to come from the center, from the middle as well. The tent has got to be big, because I believe, Tom, my former party, the MAGA movement, is bigger than Democrats think. And so I think Democrats got to wake up and be inclusive and say, you know what, we can be a tent big enough for a Joe Walsh and an AOC. Right now, I think we have to do that.
Yeah, a Joe Walsh. To what extent do you think race is driving this?
Somewhat. No doubt, somewhat. My former party, Tom, they imagine and they hearken back to a white Christian America.
Yeah.
That's a big part of this.
Yeah, I get it. Joe Walsh, social contract with Joe Walsh. Substack.com, Walsh Freedom on Blue Sky and Twitter. I have all that right, Joe?
You got it, Tom. Okay. Thanks so much.
Joe, thanks for dropping by. It's great talking with you. I look forward to future conversations.
Yep.
It's 48 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with your calls right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be right back with you. Lately, it seems like the wall between church and state is under full-scale attack. In Texas, lawmakers want to post the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms and give school boards power to approve prayer sessions and Bible readings. At the federal level, a new bill just passed the House that removes Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care, not just for youth, but everyone. And the Supreme Court? They're about to hear a case that could let religious charter schools access public funding, completely blurring the line between church and state. If this sounds extreme, that's because it is. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been pushing back since 1978. They're on the front lines defending the Constitution, making sure public funds, public schools, and public policy stay secular. If you believe in facts over faith-based legislation, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's, to 511-511 and become a member today. Join us and go to ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511 to support their work. Because when religion starts driving public policy, democracy takes a back seat. Text fees may apply.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a highly controversial action, President Trump is testing the reach of his powers by sending 4,700 military personnel into Los Angeles to suppress protests. What are Title 10, the Insurrection Act, and the Posse Comitatus Act? The Posse Comitatus Act forbids the use of the military to enforce laws against U.S. citizens under ordinary situations, but there are extremely rare exceptions. In his mobilization of the California National Guard and active duty Marines, Trump invoked Title 10, a statute enabling the U.S. Armed Forces. Section 251 says, whenever there is an insurrection in any state against its government, the president may, upon the request of its legislature or of its governor if the legislature cannot be convened, call into federal service such of the militia of the other states in the number requested by that state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to suppress the insurrection. No such request was made by state officials. Under the Insurrection Act, the American Constitution Center notes three circumstances where a president may use the military on U.S. soil. When a local official asks for assistance, when an insurrection against the federal government or judiciary occurs, or when a state refuses to uphold civil rights. What constitutes an insurrection? That will likely be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. If you're over 50 and experiencing joint stiffness, thinning hair, sagging skin, or brittle nails is a critical reason why, and ignoring it could accelerate aging from the inside out. A respected Texas doctor of physical therapy is sounding the alarm on a rapid decline in collagen, a structural protein essential for strong bones, flexible joints, and youthful skin. By age 50, your collagen levels may have dropped by over 50%, leaving your body vulnerable to pain, weakness, and visible signs of aging. That's why millions have turned to his breakthrough formula, Native Path Collagen, to restore what time takes away. Louise heads a dark coffee every morning. This isn't just another generic supplement. This is a clinically supported bioavailable collagen peptide that's helping men and women significantly strengthen bones and reduce joint pain and visibly reduce wrinkles and sagging skin. And right now, I can get you up to 45% off, but only for a limited time at getnativepath.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's GetNativePath, G-E-T, GetNativePath.com/Tom. Supplies are limited, demand is surging.
Used to be a man could buy a home. Working hard, building life on his own. Now the price tags climb, the rents don't stop. While Wall Street sharks buy up block. They say it's the market, they say it's fair, but homes weren't meant for hedge funds to share.
Past the hour. I kind of think that's what Joe was talking about. I've got a caller in Illinois, the last four digits 7488. You want to give us your name and what's on your mind today, and what city are you in?
Yeah, hi, Tom. My name is Suzanne. I'm calling from Evanston.
Great.
Right.
Thank you.
Just north of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I called yesterday, talked to Mateo, because I had seen your appearance on the Velshi show Saturday, mm-hmm. which I always watch. I was so excited to see you. And I wanted to bring up, you know, I thought it was, I loved your discussion about Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's so important. We all be that we're all talking about what. But what caught my interest then was the interview with the Yale professor Akhil. I can't think of his last name.
Something like Kumar. But yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
The guy with the long hair.
It's part of, you know, one of the ones that involved with the hair, Federation
mm-hmm.
Society, the
Federalist.
Conservative. And yeah. He's like the only liberal. And what he was arguing for, it was originalism
yeah.
of the Constitution.
I know. Yeah, he's a law
which
professor.
Which I think...
I've always thought yeah, originalism is a scam, but...
I think it's a scam, too, and I thought maybe if you could comment on that, because you're talking today
yeah.
about...
I'm with you, Suzanne. We're going to hit a break in just a few seconds here, but originalism
yeah.
is absolutely a scam. There's a whole chapter about it in
it
my
is.
Book on
Thank
the Supreme
you.
Court. You know, these guys
I'm
have
good.
To pretend that they can
I'm
read the
that.
Minds of the founders. And the founders were
right.
all over the map. I mean, you know, you had Patrick Henry saying that America was a Christian nation, and you had John Adams
right.
and Thomas Jefferson saying, no way, Christianity's got nothing to do with us. So,
yeah.
you know, for example, I mean, you know, how can you say, oh, well, I know what the founders thought. Suzanne, thank you. That was a great question. And good talking with you. Up next, Seton Motley's going to drop by. He says he has a mea culpa for me. I'll believe that when I hear it. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3315. 800-378-3315. That's 800-378-3315.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Pentagon says it will cost $134 million for the deployment of National Guard troops and 700 Marines to Los Angeles. There have been 4 days of anti-ICE protests in Mayor Karen Bass's city.
They are trying to paint a picture here of utter chaos, and the irony is they contributed to the chaos. They're the reason that it started.
Defense Secretary Hegseth defending those deployments before Congress said it's needed to protect ICE agents. Democrats sought answers about spending for a missile defense system.
Give us the details.
Congresswoman, we have the details and we will provide
them.
Well,
then let's have them before we, and my hope is that we could get to it before we go to a markup within a few hours.
Well, President Trump goes to Fort Bragg today ahead of the Army's 250th birthday. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
He'll make remarks celebrating past and present service members. There will be live military demonstrations, including several flyovers as well.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.